Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joseph, greetings from Chicago. You know, with all the political debating going on in this country, you have to think we're very lucky here. I'm reading about a Russian journalist who staged a protest live on state-run television last year, sentenced to 8.5 years in prison. That's Russia.
Yeah. Bob, yes, good afternoon from Lviv. And this is a thing that, you know, I think in so many of the debates we see, both in our politics in the U.S. and in some of the media, you know, there's even sectors of Americans who are somehow have been praising Russia, believing this propaganda that it's some kind of society of great virtue and values. And, you know, the fundamental thing, there's no free speech whatsoever in Russia. And that's a great thing that I see in Ukraine. You know, even, I mean, there's always frustrations here, especially after, you know, 20 months of Russia's war. And people complain about their government. People complain about President Zelensky. There's a lot of, it's a very vibrant democracy, and Ukrainians do not like to be controlled. And so that you really see two fundamentally different societies. And as some have explained it, you know, Russia, going back to the days of the czars, is extremely horizontal society. For centuries, people there have not believed that they can have agency, that they can determine their own destiny. It's always been the czar or the communist leadership or now Putin. And Ukraine has always been the opposite. It's been very, Russia has been vertical and Ukraine has been very horizontal. You know, the wild Cossacks in the fields, people who did not want to be controlled from east or west, and that's part of, you know, Ukraine has been in sort of in the middle of empires, not only from Moscow but also those coming from Europe, and go, you know, as we saw also in World War II, it was here in Ukraine they had to fight off both the Nazis and the Soviets. And interestingly, yesterday at the Warsaw Security Forum in Poland, annual security conference, one of the most famous and one of the few Russian dissidents, Garry Kasparov, the famous chess player, he was saying that there is no anti-war Russian community. He also said, "I also do not like the phrase good Russians, to put it mildly." He says it's not enough to say that you're against the war or that you're against Putin. He says Russians, because of the damage they are inflicting on Ukraine and the world, they have to be very clear. And he says the only way you can show as a Russian that you really are on the side of good, he said, you must agree to three simple principles. Number one, that the war is criminal. Number two, that the Putin regime is illegitimate. And number three, that Crimea is Ukraine. And according to Garry Kasparov, only 25% of the Russian opposition, which is already very small, is willing to make such a declaration without hesitation. And he also pointed out that on the other side, where we see, all the Western support for Ukraine, he says it's not enough to say, "Oh, I support Ukraine." He said you have to say, "I want Ukraine to win." And so it's interesting to see this from a Russian dissident who knows Russia extremely well, one of the world's greatest minds, a chess grandmaster. He's encouraging Russians who oppose, who think they oppose Putin, to be very clear and precise. And he's also encouraging those in the West to say that they want Ukraine to win. And that, again, that involves very essentially Ukraine taking back the Crimean Peninsula.
We've been talking about Russian propaganda, and I was reading a report today about a U.S. official saying they're convinced that Putin intends to try to end U.S. and European support for Ukraine by using his spy agencies to push propaganda supporting pro-Russian political parties and by stoking conspiracy theories with new technologies. Pretty scary stuff, because they're good at that, aren't they?
They're very good at getting into our heads and minds. And we've seen this with recent headlines. You know, there was a conflict between, or the dispute between Poland and Ukraine on grain delivery. And Poland has an election on October 15th, was saying, you know, that that too much grain was coming from Ukraine into Poland, and it began to create negative headlines. And I've even seen this in the relationships of people working and volunteering for victory between Americans and Ukrainians and Poles. People start to argue with each other, and you see how the poison of those headlines begins to impact the day-to-day efforts of people here working for victory. It's the same story with that crazy episode in the Canadian Parliament, where, you know, it seemed that they were honoring a Nazi, and all of a sudden the headlines are dominated by, you know, not Russia and genocide, but by the words Ukraine and Nazi. And that's exactly what Russian propaganda wants. And so they do work in a very insidious way. And, you know, one of the big stories of the past couple weeks, really of the past months, or maybe even the past year, is what Ukrainians have been able to do to the Russian Black Sea Fleet in Sevastopol. And as I mentioned yesterday, you know, the British at the Warsaw Security Forum really started to talk about this. So now it's becoming a bigger story. But the Russian Black Sea Fleet has been forced to move from its main naval base in Sevastopol further away. And so it's going to make it much, you know, as we do look toward, you know, if the Russians are planning to have a winter of infrastructure attacks, if their fleet is further away, it will make them a bit harder to attack Ukraine. And we also saw there are reports of last night far away from Crimea in the northeast, just over the northeastern border of Ukraine, not far from Kharkiv, that the Ukrainians sent drones toward that Russian city of Belgorod. And there are some indications that the Ukrainians did destroyed very expensive Russian air defense systems. Some estimate that these systems are worth $1.2 billion. And so while we do see, you know, plenty of reasons to be concerned from the Russian threat, Ukraine has been very quietly and steadily doing some extraordinary things, especially in Sevastopol.
Good to hear that. Meantime, the message for any Russians who want to criticize what Putin is doing, better stay on lower floors and avoid flying, right?
Yeah, well, you know, there's many memes about that, because, you know, we've known for years how Putin, you know, and that's why, you know, if you're a critic of Russia, it's more dangerous for you if you're in Paris or London than if you're in Lviv, because, you know, there are Russian operatives and agents, you know, in, throughout many countries in the world. This morning I was sitting at a sidewalk coffee shop in Lviv, and, you know, Lviv, it has no river. It was covered up 130 years ago during the Austro-Hungarian Empire. But I realized the river is really the people here. And so I was sitting at this cafe where everyone sits facing the main square with the fairy tale ivory tower in the center of the old city of Lviv. And just watching all the people go by and listening to the people talk, you know, there was a woman next to me reading a book. There was a man ahead drawing in a notebook. And then this incredible scenes of peace. And then I listened to the conversations, and now everyone is figuring out strategies for victory, or again, criticizing their government. This is such a lovely society that I think, you know, I mean, I try to share these stories so that the world can see it and appreciate it, that, you know, Ukraine, despite all the Russian attempts at destruction and that smothering the reality of this, this is such a, I mean, in between the attacks, it is even perhaps one of the most peaceful and strangely idyllic places in the world. And this is the, you could say it's a contradiction, but I think it's the very reason why Ukrainians have been able to hold on, because they have such a, they've built something so nice and so livable. And that's what gives them strength to keep going.
Another vivid picture of beautiful life in Ukraine despite the war from Joseph Lindsley. We'll talk tomorrow. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.